ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart to pray. It is written, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. It is written, and he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sorrowful and sore troubled. And he saith unto them, abide ye here, and watch with me. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came to him a ruler, and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house, and saw the flute players and the crowd making a tumult, he said, give place, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Give me words of simple length, words of beauty, words of strength, words to scatter, errors missed, words of gold and amethyst. Give me words well fit for song, words with which to banish wrong, words that smooth the rugged road, words that lessen someone's load. Give me words to suit the hour, words of wisdom, words of power, words that radiate new life, words that lift men to the height. Give me words for daily need, words a hungry soul to feed, words that help someone to live, words to bless and freely give. Give me words that glow with life, words to vanquish human strife, words that whisper tender love, words endowed by God above. For God is just a prayer away. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message that tells a story of the inner circle. Three times in the gospel record of 89 chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there were three apostles who seemed to be part of the inner circle of apostles. At least on three recorded occasions, Peter, James, and John were allowed to accompany Jesus on three missions when the remaining nine were excluded. The first one was in the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus. Jairus told the Lord, my little daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. On the way to the house of Jairus, there was an interruption. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years stymied the journey by touching his garment. When she was healed of her plague, the ensuing conversation that took place took up valuable time in reaching the house of Jairus. And to make things worse, someone came with the news that the child was dead. So trouble not the master. Jesus paid no attention to the message, but said to Jairus, fear not, only believe. What a comforting statement that is to us all. Fear not, only believe. Only believe is a good principle to have regarding all Scripture. Only believe. Only believe when Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Only believe. Only believe, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Only believe. What a blessing it would be if those who hear it would only believe. When the Lord raised up the daughter of Jairus from the dead, Peter, James, and John were invited into the resurrection room with the parents of the child to view the proceedings. I wonder why the Lord allowed only three to view the resurrection. I would suppose he allowed only three into the resurrection room because 12 apostles and the two parents, along with the Lord, making a total of 15 people, would have made very cramped quarters. However, for whatever reason, he did choose Peter, James, and John. When Jesus went up to the top of the mountain and experienced the transfiguration again, it was Peter, James, and John who were singled out to the exclusion of the other nine. Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus in glory and spake to him concerning his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. It is an interesting thing to note that when the apostles were there and people visited the earth from outer space, the one thing they wanted to talk about is the most important thing that ever happened on this planet, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing was said about the Super Bowl or any other sporting event or entertainment. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't hesitate to say that the most important event that will take place in all this week on this radio station is this broadcast that you are listening to at this moment. Many meetings will take place in your area this week, meetings of education, banking, business, politics, but nothing will take place nearly as important as the meeting that takes place on the Lord's Day in the Lord's house at the Lord's table. However, it was the same trio of worthies again, Peter, James, and John. Again, we wonder, why this particular three? He not only took these three, but also told them not to tell anybody what happened until after the resurrection. Then the third time was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was Peter, James, and John who went into the garden with the Lord while the remaining eight waited outside. Why these three? This was the most sacred occasion. Jesus was amazed and sore troubled in the garden, he said. The word amazed has the meaning of terrified and frightened. Martin Luther said that Jesus feared death at this point more than any person who ever lived. The Christian can face death with assurance because of what Jesus did. The sting of death is sin. But when Jesus faced death, he was carrying the load of every sin ever committed. He was standing, as it were, on the shore of the lake of fire. The waves rolled at his feet, and Jesus was amazed and sore troubled. On that occasion, Satan probably gave every demon the same orders. Fight not with the great or small this night, save only with the King himself. If Jesus was horrified and frightened at the thought of bearing the sins of the world, how much more should we be horrified at our own sins? If he agonized in prayer over our sins, should we not also be in agony over our sins? Did you ever agonize over your sins? What should a person think who is about to go into eternity, bearing the load of his own sins? It is a sobering thought when you consider the statement of Paul, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We sometimes sing that gospel song, "I'll go with him through the garden, I'll go with him through the garden, I'll go with him through the garden, I'll go with him all the way." It may be a good hymn to sing, but remember as you sing it, that no one is going to go with him through the garden. Even those who were closest to him went to sleep and missed most of what went on. The three that Jesus had with him were asleep a stone's throw away, oblivious to the battle over the cup that Jesus would drink. for whatever reasons, Peter, James, and John were the sole occupants of the inner circle. Now, what would it be like to experience life as a member of the inner circle? Well, for one thing, the inner circle is always smaller. Only three were allowed into the fellowship of the inner circle, because the fellowship of the inner circle is a very exclusive club. I knew a theology professor one time who told his class, if in your lifetime you find 12 people that you believe are completely dedicated to Christ, you probably won't find any more than that. Daniel Webster, one of the most important senators in the history of the USA, in his biography says, as a young man, when he expressed the ambition to become a lawyer, someone advised him against it and told him the field was already overcrowded. Webster replied, there is always room at the top. Ladies and gentlemen, there is always plenty of room in the inner circle. You see, there were 5,000 who wanted to make Jesus king when he fed the loaves and the fishes to them. One time he sent out 70 to preach the word. There were 12 apostles, but when it came to the inner circle, there were only three. Most folk think it is important to be big. The bigger the crowd in a church service, the better it is. Today, most think the bigger the denomination, the better it is. The bigger the building, the better it must be. But when you join the inner circle, what a shock to find hardly anyone else in there. It should come as no surprise when I tell you the churches that give financial help to this broadcast are small congregations in number. In any phase of Christian service, never, 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 never expect to find a large crowd in the fellowship of the inner circle. Then the number in the inner circle is not only smaller, but they are always just a little closer to Jesus. Peter, James, and John were closer to Jesus in the resurrection room, closer to Jesus when his glory shone through the rags of his mortal flesh in the garden, closer to Jesus when he sweat great drops of blood did Gethsemane. Think of it. Those crimson droplets oozed from every pore of his body as he shed his blood for us, even before a wound was inflicted on his body. An angel appeared to strengthen him, to remind him of where he had come, and to whence he would go after the resurrection. The Father was watching. The angels were watching. The devil was watching. The only humans that could watch, even though a stone's throw away, were the inhabitants of the inner circle. Maybe that is why most are not in the inner circle. Not everyone wants to get that close to Jesus. Most folk I know in the church would rather take a beating than to live in such a way that someone might call them a religious fanatic. Most Christians want to hide in the anonymity of the mediocre. Oh, they might be proud to be called a fanatic over their favorite sports team, but it would be horrible, unthinkable, to be known as a fanatic for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the inner circle is smaller and closer, but also the inner circle is composed of those who have greater knowledge. Peter, James, and John knew more than the other apostles. Go to the house of Jairus and ask one of the nine outside the resurrection room. What is Jesus doing in that room with the parents? They would say, I don't know. Ask them, why did Peter, James, and John go in with Jesus? They would tell you, I don't know. Now, when the members of the inner circle come out of the resurrection room, ask either one of them, what did Jesus do? He would say, well, he raised up the daughter from the dead. How did he do it? He took her by the hand and said, damsel, arise. And she came back to life. What else did he do? He told us to give her something to eat. I wonder if they thought about that request of Jesus after the day of Pentecost. Give them something to eat. When a person hears the gospel and is led to repent and then be buried in the watery grave of baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, it is always a good idea to give them something to eat. Give them the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. Give them the bread of life to eat in the gospel sermon and Bible school lesson. The members of the inner circle, you see, know more than those who are not in the inner circle. Go to the foot of the mountain of Transfiguration and ask one of the nine apostles, where's Jesus? He went up on top of the mountain. Where are Peter, James, and John? Oh, they went with him. What are they doing up there? I think I heard them say they were going to pray. Well, why did he have to go to a mountaintop to pray? I don't know. When Peter, James, and John came down from the mountain, ask either one of them, what were you doing up there? They would say, it was a wonderful experience, but I can't tell you what it was like. Why can't you tell us? Because Jesus told us not to tell anybody until after he was raised from the dead. What a story the inner circle could have told at that time if they had been permitted. They had experienced what it will be like to live in eternal glory. Peter said himself, it is good for us to be here. He was willing to stay on the mountaintop and never go back down again. This gives us an idea of what it's like for the righteous dead. They are in such bliss that they have no desire to ever return to this world again. After the resurrection of Jesus, they told what happened on the mountaintop. Peter refers to the event when he said, we were witnesses of his majesty when we were with him in the Holy Mount. The other nine did not have that experience. That was only for those who were in the inner circle. Now let us go to the Garden of Gethsemane and ask one of the eight on the outside, where is Jesus? He told us to sit here, and he went into the garden. Why did he go in there? He said he was going to pray. Where is Judas? I don't know. Where are Peter, James, and John? They went in with him. Are they praying too? I don't know. How long will he be in there? I don't know. Go into the garden and ask any of the three, what are you doing? They would say, we have been sleeping. Where is the Lord? He's about a stone's throw away praying. How long has he been praying? Well, he came and woke us up and asked us why we could not watch with him 1 hour. What did he do then? He went away again and prayed. Then he came back again and found us asleep. Then he went about a third time and prayed. His face was red. It looked like he had been sweating blood. Ladies and gentlemen, those in the inner circle always know more than those who are not in the inner circle. Now, this in conclusion. The inner circle is smaller, you see. It's closer, and they know more. In the event you might want to enter the inner circle, it might be well to consider the honor that is conferred upon such dedicated people. Their future was bright with glory. That is, if you want to look at it that way. Look what happened to Peter. After the resurrection, the Lord told him, "When you were young and you girded yourself and walked whither you would." But the Lord further told him that when he became old, he would stretch forth his hands and others would carry him where he did not want to go. This, John said, was a reference to how he would glorify God in his death. Jesus rewarded his dedicated service in the inner circle by letting him die the death of a martyr. The statement of Jesus sounds like crucifixion. For the rest of Peter's life on earth, he lived in the shadow of the cross on which he would die. As you know, tradition says that when the time came for his crucifixion, he requested that he be crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die as the Lord died. Remember, the Lord tells all who will follow him, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." At this point, we ask this: how many want to join the inner circle? Before you answer, there's James to consider. He did not have to wait very long for the payoff for a dedicated service. Luke tells us in the book of Acts that Herod stretched forth his hands to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. What a glorious reward for dedicated service, to be decapitated, to get your head cut off. James was not an old man at the time of his death. There was much yet that he could do. The Lord only had 12 apostles. Surely God could not spare one when there was so much an apostle could do. Surely he will intervene and save James' life. It may be that the Lord let James die, what we call an untimely death, to stress the point that God did not need James. God does not need you. God does not need me. But we all need the Lord. Most of our people are too sophisticated to cut our heads off today in America. But preachers ought to keep in mind they might cut your water off or cut you out of their fellowship. Do you still want to be included in the inner circle of God on God's terms? Then consider the Apostle John. Look at the first chapter of Revelation and listen to him say, "I, John, your brother and partaker with you in the tribulation and patience which are in Jesus, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." That was John's reward for faithful service. He was shipped off to the loneliness of a desert island, somewhat like solitary confinement. However, John was not completely alone. He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Do you, as a Christian, ever have a warm, fuzzy glow about being in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Perhaps there are other circles you would find more to your liking. Some might prefer a much larger circle. I have heard that expression. The circle I travel in. What circle do you travel in? Some may travel in a circle of an educational system that would look with disfavor on your view of biblical creation. So you might think it politically correct to keep a low profile on your view of the Word of God. Some may travel in the social circle of business, and your lifestyle may put pressure on your consumption of booze and/or entertainment. Remember, most Christians, quote-unquote, do not want anyone to think they are fanatics over religion. And then some travel in the circle of religious conformity. That's a good circle for some. Any Bible doctrine that does not conform with the belief of the majority is taboo. Evidently, the voice of the people is the voice of God. We, the people, decide by the polls what is moral or immoral. Our motto is, everybody is doing it. Remember, Jesus was crucified because he did not travel in the circle of religious conformity. And now here is the bottom line of this whole tirade. Whatever circle you travel in, without Christ in the center of the circle, your circle is a big, fat zero. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
Just a breath.